earlier this morning, we heard from a federal union boss celebrating the re-election of President Obama. The assumption may be that a Democratic president will be good for the federal workforce, but not so fast, says senior correspondent Mike Causey. Now, just before we get to Mike, we want to play you this short clip from President Obama's acceptance speech last night about his thoughts on gridlock.
As it has for more than two centuries, progress will come in fits and starts. It's not always a straight line. It's not always a smooth path. By itself, the recognition that we have common hopes and dreams won't end all the gridlock or solve all our problems or substitute for the painstaking work of building consensus and making the difficult compromises needed to move this country forward. But that common bond is where we must begin.
And that was, of course, President Obama's acceptance speech last night. In studio with us now is senior correspondent Mike Causey. And, Mike, it's always great to have your perspective. Will at least some of the gridlock maybe go away?
I think some of it probably will. But that said, I think the mantra, I know you've had the union people on, and I think their new mantra ought to be maybe four more years, but not quite like the last 4 years. You know, we had a pay freeze that was initiated by the president. The administration has proposed that having feds pay a higher percentage of their salary into the retirement fund. So it's not all happy days. And I know the union leaders are delighted, but I suspect the unions, maybe union members, split 60-40 in favor of Obama.
So, Mike, taking sort of a different look at the same thing, is there anything? Can we expect anything to be different in the next 4 years? And what's that?
Well, I think there are always surprises, and you know, union leaders and pressure groups, lobbyists, always have an agenda, and they put the best foot forward when when it suits them. But that said, there things happen, and in second term presidents are often different than the first term president. You know, they have nothing; they're not running for re-election. They're running to build their legacy and their place in history, and so they can do some very different things, and they can be more statesmanlike in some respects. And if you look at past presidents, the unions were delighted when Jimmy Carter was elected. Turned out he had some very strange ideas about the federal workforce. He wanted to get rid of people, a number of people. He wanted to change the rules for pay adjustments. President Reagan, people thought he was the devil incarnate, and the city, Washington, would be left in ashes. And in fact, the government grew under him. And, you know, it happens. Bill Clinton came in, discovered that the average federal worker in Washington made more than he did as governor of Arkansas. So they came in with a different mantra. And many people, if you look at this, if there is such a thing as a civil service historian, but I think if there was and you ask them who was the best president for federal workers as far as benefits and things go, it would be Richard Nixon. So, you know, you just never know.
Well, Richard Nixon, I think, had a large role, his administration did anyway, and he had to sign the papers to bring women in greater numbers and in greater managerial ranks in the federal government. That really got started back then.
Could well be. And also, they just did a number of reforms, legislative reforms, and they cut deals with the federal and postal union leaders. The president of the AFGE, as an individual, endorsed Nixon, not for the union, but as an individual. And the president of the National Association of Letter Carriers endorsed Richard Nixon, again, as an individual, not as a president.
And Mike, our executive editor, Jason Miller, has a really good analytical take on what the election means for feds on federalnewsradio.com. He quotes Dan Blair, the president of the National Academy of Public Administration, who said that after George W. Bush won his second term, those first 2 years of that second term were the most productive in his entire eight. Do you think that the next 2 years for Obama could be the most productive?
It really depends on how divisive the Congress is. If the Republicans learn a lesson from this, assuming there's a lesson to be learned, and cooperate more, you can avoid things like sequestration and get some action done. But the tension on the Hill, you know, it's always comparable to say this is the worst election I've ever seen and tempers the toughest. But the mood on the Hill is as sour as I've ever seen it on both sides.
Well, it's probably like something like 1860 or 1864,
yeah.
If you really want to go back.
Fortunately, their dueling has been outlawed, you know.
Yeah, that's right. There's nobody's hitting each other on the floor of the opposite chamber with hammers and that kind of thing. And so getting back to the federal workforce, I mean, people said that, of course, an expansionist, if you will, president like President Clinton actually did shrink the federal workforce, and it actually grew under President Reagan.
That's a very good point. Everybody assumed the government would get bigger under President Clinton. One of the first things he did was find out what the size of the workforce was under John F. Kennedy, who was his hero, and he wanted to cut it by that amount to get it down to Kennedy levels, and they in fact did it with a series of massive buyouts, $25,000, which was a lot of money in the mid-90s. And so, yeah, the government actually shrunk, and contracting out, which people always blame on the Republicans, really got jump-started under Bill Clinton.
Have you, I know it's still early, it's 9:13 in the morning, but do you have a sense of how the average Fed, not necessarily the union leaders whom we've talked to, but the average Fed thinks about their life under a second term of President Obama?
I don't have a clue. I have not talked to a single person because it is early hours, early days. But I did look at the commentary section above my column this morning, and it is, I suggest that people, A, I hope they read the column, but look at the comments as well. Very political, very angry, very bitter people, very divided federal workforce looking at these comments.
So still bitter, still divided.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
basically and, status and very, quo ahead of them.
Very political. And I've noticed this in a lot of the columns recently. The column may be about health insurance, the open season, but the comments are, you know, you dirty dog, you can't vote for him. Very interesting.
And, Mike, what can we expect in this sort of lame duck period for everybody in the federal government between now and January? What are some of the issues, the challenges that are likely to come up as they do every time that there's, I guess, in between an administration's first and second term?
Well, the monster in the living room, of course, is sequestration, you know, the fiscal cliff. And if they don't solve that by January 2nd, it will begin to take place. And I think they're talking about an 8% cut across the board in most government activities, and that could affect people, could jumpstart furloughs and that sort of thing. The other issue, and the thing you might check with when you interview your union leaders later on, is that one of the acid tests the unions face is the pay raise for 2013. President Obama froze pay for 2 years, and the Congress happily went along with him. Then he proposed for 2013 a 0.5% raise, half a percentage point raise, not much, but something. But in the continuing resolution, the deal was no pay raise at least until March 31st. Most people think it's not going to be a pay raise at all, but if the unions can pry that out of the White House and Congress, it'll be a slight victory for them.
And J. David Cox, the president of AFGE, the national president, said he feels that the environment is ripe now for an acceleration of recruiting, getting more members into the union. So that's something we could see the unions feel emboldened by you know, this couple more gains of Democrats in the Senate and the president staying at the top there.
I think with the high-tech economy we have now, I think a lot of people just don't feel the need for unions. They don't dislike them. They just think they don't need them.
Mike, we've been talking about the president's reelection, but of course there are many other elections. Capitol Hill, most people are coming back, some are not. Let me get your first reaction and analysis as to what the elections for Congress mean for federal workers.
Well, I think federal workers will be a rather low priority issue with the Congress. I mean, at some point they're going to have to deal with the economy, and they can only blame federal workers so much for being overpaid and all that. One of the things you're seeing played out, you mentioned in the news item about the Postal Service wanting to contract out jobs, and the unions and employees come back and say, we can actually do it cheaper than contractors, and they'll show the salary figures. What they're missing is the retirement angle. You can hire mechanics and let the private sector take care of their retirement. But when you have a postal mechanic, then the taxpayers take care of them for 10, 20, 30 years after they retire. So there's a lot of issues. I don't think federal employees are going to be a major issue in this Congress.